Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Metal Talk, and a big welcome to Mr. Toby Jepson. Good to see
Hello
you, sir.
there. Well, great to see you too. Nice to be here.
So, exciting times, and extraordinary times, possibly for everyone.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's been in the planning for quite a while, but you know, it's like herding cats with a fork, trying to keep a band together, you know. And you know, especially given the fact that you know the Little Angels have been, you know, we've been split up 32 years or something, whatever it is, and only came, you know, only come back in the interim period, you know, 13 whatever years ago it was, you know, when we did the 2012 tour. So, but the great thing about that tour was it sort of it put us in mind of like, hey, we can do this again. You know, we'd like to do this again. It was just a question of when, and of course, the when's the big one, really, because it's. You know, everyone's got different lives. You know, we've all been leading different lives, and I think quite a lot of tumultuous things happened over the last sort of 12, 13 years to all of us in lots of different ways. But we sort of sat down a couple of years ago and sort of thought, well, if we're going to do this, we want to get it, we want to do it properly, and we want to sort of correct some stuff and you know, have a really good go at it. I mean, I think 2012 was a great tour, but it was really very emotional. That was built off. That tour was built off the back and prompted by the death of Michael Lee. Savage blow to us, and but it did get us all back together in a room, and you know, we and so the emotions were very high on that tour, and I think we were just glad to be there. You know, this time around, it feels different. It feels a lot more, I think, solid. I think we feel that this won't be the only tour we'll do. We think there's other things that we would like to do. And weirdly, the planets have all kind of aligned. You know, everyone's kind of got gaps in their schedule over the next couple of years. You know, there's various reductions in work processes and things like that are going on in, you know, with all the guys in the band. And so it just seemed to be the right time. And it's a weird one because, you know, you can sit around talking about it. I mean, we started talking about it a couple of years ago and like it really was jarring and there was no way it was going to work. And, you know, this got in the way and that got in the way and then somebody got ill and then this happened and that happened. And it just felt like we were sort of like wading through treacle, you know. But then the sort of skies cleared and we sort of got talking about it again. And all of a sudden it was like nothing was getting in the way. Everything felt good. All the conversation we had felt positive. And so we just decided to push the green button and here we are. That's all I can say, really. Yeah.
Excellent. So when was the first time you guys got back in a room together, obviously since the 2012-2013 tour?
Well, we've our lives have intersected quite a lot over those years. You know, we're very firm friends. I mean, Mark Plunkett spends quite a lot of time in Thailand. He splits his time between Thailand and the UK, so he's away most of the winter. Lucky person, and so we don't I haven't seen an awful lot of Mark, but I've kept in touch with Mark via Zoom and all the rest of it. See a lot of Jim because Jim lives very close to me down here in the Southwest, and so we see a lot of each other socially. Mark Richardson and me, we've worked on a couple of projects where Mark's played drums on a couple of things I've done, specifically a couple of film project things I was working on. And, you know, Bruce and me, again, we sort of see each other when we do, and it's all really good. So we haven't actually been in a room to play with each, you know, play as a band yet at all. So that's what we're planning at the moment. We've got our rehearsal schedules building now. And, you know, we're sort of, again, it's just like trying to manage. I don't know, it's like trying to juggle treacle, you know, you're trying to kind of get those moments where like, you know, because Mark Rich is still in Skunk and Nancy, of course. I've got film projects that I'm working on, which are coming to fruition. So we're trying to make that all work. But I mean, again, amazingly, we've managed to do it. We've got four or five big chunks through the year where we can go and have a couple of weeks where we're going to be together and we'll be rehearsing. And, you know, we're determined to put a bomb ass show together for this tour. And really deliver on the promise of what Little Angels used to be in lots of ways, you know, but bringing it into now, you know. So, yeah, we've got a lot of plans for the live show, you know.
Because obviously Bruce lives up in the Shetland Islands now, doesn't he?
He does.
So yeah. He's come from Brighton, I think it was Brighton, wasn't he? Right, yeah. Up to there.
Yeah, totally.
So the logistics of doing it all.
The craziest commute of all time, but No, you know, what it comes down to is how willing you are to do these things. And, you know, I think we all we all relish and cherish, actually, is the word, cherish the relationship we have with our fans. I mean, I think anyone that was a Little Angels fan back in the day when we were at our height knows how much the fans meant to us, and that relationship that we built over so many years, it was furious and it was completely and utterly committed. And I think they honor us. You know, what I've realized over the last week or so, watching breathlessly as the ticket sales went up and up and up, and we had to keep adding shows, and it was they, you know, the fans honored us with their presence. You know, that's the way I look at it. It's not the other way around. The reality is if it wasn't for the fans, we wouldn't be here, and we have such a loyal following, and it hasn't waned one iota. That's the astounding thing. All those people that were there at the Jammed On Demand tour, that were buying those records back in the day, that came to our shows, they're still there. They still want to take part. They still relish it. They still think about our music as something very important to their lives. It has not diminished, and that is the greatest accolade I think we could ever sort of have. And you know, we want to do right by them. I mean, we all said, I was ch chatting to Bruce today actually, and we were sort of saying, you know, how, you know, we feel so connected to our audience that we want to do the greatest show for them they've ever seen. You know, that's the way we feel about it. And it's whether other people outside of the cordon who don't like the band, I don't really care what they think. You know, what I care about is the people that care about us, and it's apparent that there's plenty of them.
I think there is that overwhelming love and connection, isn't there, between the fans and yourselves, as you've said. And as you say, the response, I know you've been blown away, haven't you? All of you have been blown away by the response to the tour being announced.
I mean, genuinely so as well. I mean, you know, you don't go into these things lightly. I mean, Little Angels left on a high. You know, we always say it's a bit of a sort of cliche now about our history, but you know, we finished at the highest point. You know, we literally did a number one album into the Royal Albert Hall, 7,500 tickets, whatever it was, you know, and we were gone. And so there's a kind of strange poetry to that, you know, kind of a sort of mystery to it all. Which has sort of been built, the mythology has been built through that since then, and it's kind of, you know, grown and grown and grown, I think. And you know, and we want to hold on to that. We want to make sure that that is maintained, that the levels of which people remember us at, we don't want to dip below that. So trying to put those tours, you know, trying to put a tour together that reflects what the legacy is and where it could go, and the fact that we are men in our 50s now, you know, we're not 25-year-old kids. You know, it's going to be strange singing too much too young, but maybe actually probably makes more sense now. But you know, it's and so putting the tour together is difficult. But you know, and we work with some really great nation. We work with the Academy Group, which obviously is a Live Nation company, and the great Andy Coppins in our corner. And Andy's been, you know, he's part of the organization and the management of this project, and you know, and he will be for a while, because Andy's been a great mate of ours. And these are really high caliber people, and they understand the audience, they understand what it takes to put a great tour together, and it's not easy. I mean, I know that we sort of held our breath when we announced the tour, because there was some big holes in the touring schedule, because you've got to get a venue that's available. You've got to make sure that it works in the routing. You know, it's really complicated putting a major tour together at this kind of level. So we sort of held our breath, and of course there was the inevitable "Why aren't you playing in my backyard" style event, you know, comments. But I'm not one that sort of makes a fuss about that, because I understand that. I really do. When I was a kid living in Scarborough and Thin Lizzy came to Scarborough, I couldn't believe it. It was like, I mean, I couldn't go, actually, weirdly, because I was too young. But the very fact that even turned up was an astounding thing, you know. And Status Quo used to come every year to Scarborough, and it used to make me feel, oh, they haven't forgotten us. So I totally get it. But unfortunately, these days, it's very complicated to make tours work. It's extremely expensive to tour. And so we have to balance all that stuff against, where do we go? Who are we going to disappoint? Because you're going to disappoint somebody. And so I think this last week has just been, honestly, man, I couldn't believe it. When we announced the tickets, we were like, okay, we've got 9 months to sell these tickets. I'll be really, really chuffed if we do 80% of everything. Do you know what I mean? It'd be really, really great. That's what we kind of, where I was aiming for personally. But the tickets flew out. I mean, I got a phone call halfway through Friday, and it's like, London's gone. I'm like, what? It's sold out. I'm like, I genuinely thought they were joking. I'm like, come on, no. What? Yeah, we're gonna have to put the other one on sale, because Andy Coppin, to in his massive wisdom, had put on the forum on hold for the day after, just in case. And I was like, well, I don't think we're gonna need that. With the greatest will in the world, I'd just be really happy to sell out the Shepherd's Bush. But I was jaw on the floor. And to this day, we've sold. I think we're almost, I wouldn't say halfway sold in the forum, but it's getting there. You know what I mean? So it's just astounding. And I don't know what to say about it. I just think there must be something about the band, something about that era of music that is now becoming more relevant than ever before. I think people are going back and listening to the music and regarding it differently. And I also think, because there's an awful lot of bands that are no longer playing, Aerosmith, you think about Whitesnake, lots of other bands are coming to the ends of their careers. Maybe this is our time. Maybe we can come back and do plenty of stuff, and I hope we can. I genuinely do.
I think similarly to Thunder, what Little Angels really had, which was what a lot of your peers maybe didn't have, was some really, really great songwriting. And for me, and I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass, I genuinely mean that. I think that the stuff that people loved when they were young, and they responded to it a different way. As you get older, as you mentioned, too much too young, there's a different resonance, possibly, when they listen to those lyrics now of some of the songs, and they've been through those experiences. Whereas maybe when they're younger, they loved the music for what it was, but now they've lived a life. Some of those experiences keyed in, and it's like maybe sort of affect in different ways. And that's the longevity of really great songs. And I think you guys had that.
Well, thank you for saying that, and I think that is true. I think what the one thing that we tried to do from the very start was to be as honest and as authentic as we possibly could be. Now, when you're very young, when we first put the band together, we were 18 years old. You don't really know what you're doing. You haven't got a lot of life experience, of course, and you're sort of really approximating it all. And you're standing on the shoulders of giants. For us, it was we lent into things like Queen and Van Halen and Bon Jovi, as because they were breaking at the time. As we started to put our band together, Bon Jovi, blew the doors off everything, and we wanted to be Bon Jovi. That's the truth, But we loved Def Leppard. We loved Boston. We were all into those sorts of bands, and so, and all those bands are melodic bands. None of us were particularly into the harder stuff. We all loved Metallica, and we all followed Metallica, and they were very much part of our listening tapes on the bus and stuff. But we knew what we were, but the principal idea of Little Angels was to talk about where we came from and where we, I mean, about escaping a small town and how you can take on the world and how anything's possible. That's why I wrote, all of those lyrics are mine. I wrote every single lyric in the band and most of the melodies and a lot of the songs. But it was all prompted by our collective experience. How we dealt with going on the road as young people, especially from a town like Scarborough, which is cut off in the northeast of England. We ended up becoming a big fish in a small pond until we got to London, and then of course all of a sudden you're faced with all these other amazing musicians and these bands, and you're no longer that, and so you've got to compete. You've got to be as good as them, and we had some amazing experiences along the way. We opened for Guns N' Roses, we opened for Tesla, we opened for Faith No More the first time all of those bands came through, and they all taught us valuable lessons. And we went back to Scarborough with our tail between our legs most of the time, back into the rehearsal room thinking, oh my goodness me, we've got to be as good as those bands. And so I think all of those things went into the music, and I think we've lived by that. And the one thing that I always wanted to do as a songwriter was, I wasn't, I'm not, I've never been concerned about what other people think about my music. And I don't mean that to sound arrogant. You have to write the music for yourself as a songwriter. That's the principle. You have to do it for yourself. You have to please yourself first, and then you hope that it will please other people. And so, even though there were a lot of naysayers about Little Angels, we weren't the coolest band. We just weren't. So, but to our fans, what we were was we were speaking their own language. And I think that's why we've managed to maintain it, because we spoke that our fans' language. They were the same as us. They were the same age as us. They understood the same things. They'd come out of the same kinds of school. They knew the same kinds of streets in the towns. And that's where our authenticity came from. And I do believe the songs maintain that and probably, like you say, resonate now more because you can reflect upon it. But we also the key thing is that we got on the radio. We were a chart band, and that was much to the hatred of an awful lot of the rock press, because it's always surprised me that you try and become successful, you get on the radio and you're all over the radio, and all of a sudden you're being slagged off by people for being popular, and it's a kind of very odd, it's a very odd relationship. But it didn't hurt Bon Jovi, it didn't help hurt Def Leppard, and it didn't hurt Whitesnake. And I always used to hang on to that. I used to think, no, the reality is this is our music. I'm not trying to ape anyone else now. I don't want to write songs like anyone else. I just want to write our songs. And if they work, they work. And if they don't, well, what can I do about that? And I think we all sort of felt that. And so we sort of stood out on our own little in our own little world. It was sort of like a little island, really. And I genuinely think that's the reason why we're sort of people remember it and want to take part in it again, because it stands for something in a way, and I do think that era, I do think the Thunder, Almighty, Gunn, Us, Dogs Du Mort, Skin, all those bands, it was a kind of movement. I mean, it was, there was I've heard it being called Brit Rock, these days. Oh, it was the Brit Rock period, Well, if we were part of that, which I think we were, and we were one of the sort of main bands in that era, then I'm really proud of that. And I think the fans remember that, because we definitely did attain heights that a lot of bands didn't, because we got on the radio. I think that's the kind of key thing, really,
State of, I guess, that the perception from the press turning on you, that whole thing, the gatekeepers, they want you to be, people want you to be their band, sort of like fans, they want you to have that sort of, that we knew them from the beginning, but now they're too big and everything, and it's daft, it doesn't really encourage the scene. But you push through, and you had the success. And I think it really inspired other people. There's a great, I'm sure you've heard of them, This House We Built, another band from Scarborough. And I was talking to Scott the other week, and he names, he really got inspired by coming along to a Little Angels gig,
Yeah, which
all
is
those years
amazing. It
ago.
was amazing to hear, and I think that's true. And I think every generation is inspired by the previous generation, etc. And that's a great thing to hear. I've heard that from a few bands, and I can definitely hear a sort of an element of what we were trying to do in a number of bands today. Because the fact of the matter is, a lot of those people that are in those bands, as we know, and have probably got a Little Angels record in there, and we became part of, we were amongst the Def Leppards, amongst the Bon Jovis, amongst all those bands, so that it was just yet another record. And I think I kind of forget that sometimes. We were amongst all of that stuff, so it's great to hear that. Yeah, you know what? Listen, it was a different time back then. The print media and everything that surrounded the way that a band was kind of promoted is so entire was in so entirely different from what it is now. I enjoy the freedom of the way that the press works now, and the fact that fans can create their own sort of whether it be a podcast, or whether it's just a kind of fan site or a Facebook group or anything, and so they're not concerned with the sort of minutiae of what it means to promote. They just love the band, and they love the music, and they want to talk about it, and that's so powerful. It really is people power, and great sort of websites and web zines, have grown out of that. And I think that's where we're at. The print media and the big corporations no longer have a stranglehold over everyone and tell you what you got to listen to,
You mentioned sort of Status Quo coming to Scarborough just now, and obviously you mentioned about the reunion tour, sort of 2013, 2013, so yeah, sort of around that era. And obviously you're saying you didn't really do things as you maybe wanted to then, because it was emotional. And I just remembered, see, the Status when Status Quo did the Frantic Four tour, that first set of dates was incredibly emotional for them, but Rossi just wasn't happy with it, so they went and did the other dates to, another tour, to actually try and sort of put stuff in more in balance. So what for you wasn't quite right with that tour?
Well, I mean, for a start, we didn't have Mark Richardson playing the drums, because Mark was involved with Skunk Anansie and had a prior arrangement with that. So we used Dominic from Reef, who was wonderful. I mean, Dom was a great guy to have in the band, but he wasn't the drummer that we would normally have used. And so there was a sort of it was a bit strange going on stage with this, totally different player. So that was a bit of a jar. As much as we loved Dom, we massively appreciate him stepping in. It was great, but it wasn't Mark, and it wasn't that. Mark's got a very certain muscularity to the way he plays, as did Michael Lee. We've always chosen drummers that were utter powerhouses, and I think obviously, there's been a bit of sort of argy bargy online about us calling this the original lineup, which, and rather than calling it the classic lineup. And I think that does hold some water, and I think that's true to a degree. But Mark for us was one of the original members because he made a record with us, he toured with us, etc. And it's kind of like part of the family, really. I mean, poor old Michael Lee, there's no, it's, we can't even like that can't even be leveled at us, really. But I think it was more to do with the fact that the focus on it was getting back in each other's lives and readdressing what it meant and what the songs, how the songs were going to transfer, and how were we going to deal with that. And so the sort of, for me, I mean, I can only talk for myself, but I have discussed it with Bruce and Jim, and I think we have our own versions of it. But my version of it was, I was just so glad to be on that stage with those lads. I just felt so privileged to be there with them, and so thankful that we were back in each other's lives. And so the focus wasn't on, let's get the set perfect, let's make something really unusual, let's try looking at this, let's try looking at that, let's do this song over here that we've never done before. None of that was even in the mix. It was more about just getting through the gigs and just happy to be there and reconnecting with people and making a statement that we were able to still to play this and still play these songs. So that was the inference. And so it wasn't a case we did anything wrong. It was more a question of how it felt. But this time around, because we've already done that, we've cleared that bit away, it feels a lot more solid. It feels like the old days. I mean, it really does. When we launched the tour last week, it completely put me back into those times when we were talking to Mike Judney at ITB and the promoters, we were MCP and all these guys, about anticipating ticket sales for the latest tour on the latest album. It felt like that. 2012 didn't feel like that to me. 2012 felt to me like, okay, let's go and have a go. Let's see what happens, and let's just do the best job we can, and let's do a greatest hits package and just remind people of who we are. This isn't that. This is something a lot deeper, a lot more layered, a lot more, I think, dynamic, and a lot more future based. Yeah.
That's going to be great. I can't wait to see. Obviously, I've seen you everywhere from obviously like Milton Keynes Bowl and Wembley Stadium through to the Oval Rock House in Norwich, which was probably the sweatiest gig I've ever been to. It
Remember it
was
well.
rammed in there. That was an insane night.
Yeah.
So really looking forward to everything back on the road. See, there was a little bit of an issue. I think Norwich UEA leaked early that there was going to be the gig, obviously last year, and it started causing the ball to
Yeah.
roll, and possibly, I'm not saying it forced your hand, I'm sure someone got a bit of a
Well, I mean, it was a
risk,
weird
but
one because, in a strange way, it sort of did us a little bit of a favour, but we genuinely did not engineer that. It was just somebody, I think, one of the sort of the promoter's rep or whoever it was in the office, because it's obviously an Ents department because it's a university. I think someone just kind of got a little bit joyful and decided to say something, and we'd obviously put an embargo on it, and we were like trying to close it down. But of course, those things leak out, and of course, it sends Chinese whispers. But there's nothing we could do about it, and because half the problem was is we were. For a number of reasons, and we were careful. We wanted to be very careful. We didn't say something that wasn't going to come true. That's the main reality to it. There was a chance that the dates would have to be moved, and we'd have to change things around for a number of reasons, but we decided to stick at them. And so it was just a bit of a, oh no, what are we going to do? But actually, it did us a little bit of a favor because it got rumor mill spinning, and there we go,
That buzz started, which was sort of exciting for everyone,
Yeah, totally,
really.
totally. Yeah.
So obviously the tour starts and you're playing in Glasgow. That's the opening night, isn't it? Glasgow, and hell of a place to play, because we know, the Glasgow fans are so fanatical.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
How are you going to feel?
Oh, goodness me, that is the I don't know, that's a $64,000 question, isn't it? Well, it's the biggest venue we'll ever have played in Glasgow, ever in our career. We always used to play Barrowlands, which is slightly less capacity than the Academy. It's an old cinema, fantastic old building. You know, I've played there a couple of times with Gunn. I played there when I was in Gunn, and I also played there when Wayward Sons opened for Steel Panther. It's a fantastic venue. It's a barn of a place. It's enormous. But when it's rocking, when it's full and it's pumping, my goodness me, it is one of those shows, you know, where the roof just goes up, you know. So I'm looking, really looking forward to it. I'm, as ever, if you don't feel nervous, then you're in the wrong job. You've got to feel a bit nervous. You know, you have to feel that adrenaline pumping. And it's, for me, it's all about preparation. It's all about knowing what we're doing. I'm a big one for rehearsals. I'm a big one for the detail. We've got a fantastic lighting director that we're involving, a young lad who's I've worked with before. He's wonderful. We've got a brilliant front of house guy, Jez Walton, who we've worked with, me and Bruce have worked with a number of times. So our front house team are impeccable, and as are the stage team. So, you know, it's all about that stuff for me. It's knowing that we are a finely oiled machine. And if we go through the rehearsals correctly, which we will do, you know, what you have to say to yourself is when you go in front of an audience like that, when you're in front of 2,500 people all expecting you to be as good as you ever were, you've got to just hold your breath and just do the job. You know, you can't pretend, you can't all of a sudden like do rehearsals and then, oh my God, we're now on stage. It doesn't work like that. You've just kind of got to do the gig like you've done in the rehearsal, and that's it. And then it builds its own atmosphere as you go along. The great thing is that we're all very experienced. And you know, I haven't stopped doing gigs, and I haven't stopped playing Little Angel songs ever since the band split up, frankly. So as far as I'm concerned, I know all the words off by Pat, you know. And it's just, I think it will be an extraordinary feeling. I mean, Glasgow's always a special place to play. We've played a lot in Glasgow over the years. And it's just got one of those, just like all of the gigs have, you know. You know, but Scotland and Glasgow specifically is a real rock and roll town. And so I'm, as ever, whenever we go there, especially opening the tour there, brilliant.
Oh, it's going to be, I'm sure it'll be just an incredible night for everyone, you know, for the fans, and particularly for you guys, you know, hitting that stage and the euphoria that will doubtless sort of fill the place. So it's going to be great. And there's a
Brilliant.
lovely bit of symmetry, isn't there? Because obviously Luke Morley is the opener for the tour, and obviously you did a solo opener for Thunder in 2006 for their tour. So it's a nice
No, I mean, Luke's great. I mean, you know, of
package.
course, absolutely. I mean, you know, when we were talking about having, you know, who the special guest would be, you know, Luke's name came up immediately, and we all felt that was the right thing to do. We invited him, and he was obviously gracious enough to accept. I mean, we feel extremely privileged to have Luke on the tour. Luke's a giant in the rock business, and he's a wonderful chap, and we all get on with him great. So, you know, but he brings that legacy of Thunder. And of course, at the moment, because of, you know, Danny's recovering from his injuries and all the rest of it, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Thunder. I really sincerely hope they get a chance to go out and play again. But whilst we're waiting for that wonderful moment when they can return, we're delighted to have Luke with us. And you know, I'm sure he'll play some Thunder tracks. And the man's a giant. You know, I'm such a big fan of him as a guitar player. And I think his solo record he put out last year was great, you know. And I've got nothing but respect for the guy. So it'll, and of course I've got a couple of my mates playing in his band. I've got Dean Howard from Tapao, who used to play in my solo band. He's playing guitar for a second guitar for Luke. So it's like having a bit of a bit of my family around me, really, in lots of ways. And it just harks back to that great golden period of rock, you know, to have Luke on that stage, you know. And yeah, it's going to be great, man. I can't wait. So I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it, frankly.
It'd be thrilling. So obviously, it's, you know, you hinted, you know, this isn't going to be one and done, is it?
No.
You're going to, I presume, you know, it's a bit too early to start sort of looking forward at the moment, but you know, hopefully there'll be more to come.
Yeah, there definitely will be more to come. I sort of made the point to the guys from my own point of view that, you know, I've got lots of other things going on. You know, it isn't the end of Wayward Sons, for instance. I definitely want to keep Wayward Sons going. We will make another Wayward Sons album. I don't quite know when that will be, but you know, Wayward Sons is very important to me. I mean, I've made three albums with Wayward Sons, made three albums with Little Angels. You know, so, you know, it's, you know, these things can all work in conjunction with each other. It doesn't have to be about one thing, and I think these days that's quite common, you know. So, but Little Angels is extremely important. The very fact we can do this is exceptionally important to us all. And I sort of said to the guys, look, if we're going to do it, let's have a, you know, if we're willing, why not think about the medium to long term as well? And everyone went, yeah, let's do that. And so, we've been offered an all every festival in Europe under the sun. We're talking to various people. We've got some real big plans for that, and some great ideas, I think. We've some real great offers from people. And yeah, I mean, and that probably means new music at some point, not certain when and how that's going to be. We've been discussing that, and but I'm trying to kind of keep that maybe not so obvious, and look at what that can be, because I think, the big problem you've got with this is that the three albums that we made with Little Angels, to the fans, are classics. That it's like they're untouchable. That it charts the course of the band from the Big Bad EP, as far as I'm concerned, from the Big Bad EP right through to the Jam album. It's very distinctive periods of the band's history, and you can sort of see us growing through those records. But we're not that band anymore. We're not 25 years old. We're not young men making those kinds of records. And so, the question is, how do we preserve what Little Angels means to the audience? And how do we bring it into the now as men in our 50s? And how do we talk? How do we hold that conversation? Because I don't write songs willy-nilly. My songs and the ultimately the band's songs have to reflect who we are and have to reflect the times, and they have to make sense. But above all, with Little Angels, they have to be really optimistic, because most of our stuff was very, very optimistic, really, or at least searching the human condition. And so it's about trying to find that. What are the key things that make Little Angels tick that we can bring into the now, and can we make music that will equal, if not better, what we've done before? And so that's quite a tall order. Now, we've got a bit of an idea. We've got a bit of a plan, which we're working on, but nothing is cast in stone. But I do think it would be kind of a little bit foolish not to have some kind of new music in the market if we're going to continue for the next 2 or 3 years. But I just don't know what it's going to be yet.
It's all to play for. So exciting times. I cannot wait for the tour. Cannot wait to see you guys back on stage where you sort of, obviously all belong. Loved all the individual stuff you've done, but it's going to be great to just experience that thrill once again, as a punter. And I'm sure, same for
Yeah,
you.
no, thank you for saying that. And I think, we all feel that. Just because it's been before doesn't mean to say it can't come again. And just because the body, body wearies, it doesn't mean to say the spirit is also weary. We're not, we feel completely excited about this. We feel like a bunch of teenagers again. So it's just a joy to even have the chance. And the very fact it's kicked off with such an aplomb, and like such a kind of power with it all. It's honestly, and I'm not just saying it is blown us all away. We are all so surprised and grateful for it, and that's not being disingenuous. We absolutely genuinely mean that. It's like we don't expect anything. It's one thing great about the guys, I think all of us, we've never had those expectations. We all feel that we're there because at the behest of the audience, and that's it. And so if the audience wasn't interested, then we would accept that. You know what I mean? It's a kind of, that's the relationship we have. But no, joyfully, it's the other way. It's exciting, really exciting. Yeah.
That's a wonderful way to tie things up. So thank you again so much for your time, and looking forward to seeing you back on the road soon.
Magic. Yeah. Thank you so much. And yeah, can't wait. See you on the road, as they say. Yeah.
Take care, mate.